We're going to turn to the gospel called Mark.
Okay, Melania, why don't you move over here?
Do you want to leave the mic?
No, just put it on the other end. By the fireplace, with the chair.
Come here, sweet pea.
Her hand's kind of bobbing in the way.
That's not distracting.
Here,
you can go, honey.
Okay, Mark the 9th chapter, page 45 in the New Testament.
Okay.
The next page, guys, will be page 109 in the Testament. See, that'll be the next one. Mark 9, chapter verse 33. And also, all the teachings, all these things are made available because of Telios Ministries. They finance all that. They ask for donations? No. Teaching. They're sowing seeds and helping those who are searching out. We go, I want to know more. Do you want to know the traditions of men? Or do you want to know the truth? And so our Father and our Lord are always waiting for us to say, I want to know more. He goes, okay, come on. And the disciples said, explain this parable to us. And had they not asked him to explain the parable, it would not have been explained. So it's the glory of Yahweh to conceal a matter. Verse 33 through 37, if somebody would please read that for me.
And they came into Capernaum, and happening to be in the house, he was questioning them. What in the way were you discussing? And they were silent, for with one another they had discussed in the way who should be greatest. And taking a seat, he addressed the 12 and saith unto them, If anyone willeth to be first, he shall be least of all, and minister of all. And taking a child, he set it in the midst of them, and folding it in his arms, said unto them, Whosoever unto one of these children shall give welcome upon my name unto me giveth welcome, and whosoever unto me giveth welcome, not unto me giveth welcome, but unto him that sent me.
And what's really neat about this, I don't know if it's specifically this spot here, but how you see how it says in the house?
Yeah.
In other places, a lot of people believe this was in Jesus Christ's house. He lived in Capernaum. And when they brought in the paralytic and they tore off the roof, the lower end, it could be translated that was his house. And that, how cool is that? That we could be talking about Jesus Christ's house. Here's all his disciples here in Capernaum. They're all talking, blah, blah, blah. You can imagine what happened before this. You look at chapter 9, under 9, it says the transformation, Elijah the suffering. What's going on here? Hey, let me back up. Peter, James, and John were not supposed to tell anybody what they saw. They didn't tell anybody. But Peter, James, and John saw Elijah. They saw Moses. They saw visions of him, right? You can imagine there's going to be a new kingdom. Well, who's going to be in charge? Well, we know who's going to be in charge. It's just going to be Yahweh, the Son, the seed of the woman. But is Abraham going to be over David? Is Moses over Abraham?
Yeah.
How about some of the other greats? How about Jonah? How about Noah? How about Elijah? How about Jeremiah? Is Jeremiah going to answer to Moses?
Yeah.
You can imagine that you're talking about this, and you go, wow, who's going to be in charge? And here this thing is, and it could be, and I don't know if it's specifically here, I didn't do research, this is something my father pointed out, but it says, in the house, this could have been in Jesus Christ's house, and he comes walking in, and they're discussing who's going to be the greatest, and it could have been them talking about one another. Jesus Christ kept talking about sacrifice, rewards, 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 treasures, don't put your treasures here where thieves can steal, moths can eat, and thieves are going to rust up. Put your treasures in heaven where our Father is, and he's seeing all these things. He goes, do the things in secret. And what a wonderful thing about teaching kids is to teach children really opens up the door for Yahweh to teach me. I started explaining what is more valuable to Yahweh when I do something that he gets to see and everybody else gets to see, or when I do something that only him and I know about. And I would say probably the ones that are in secret, because that's just between him and I. So why did you do it, Aaron? Well, that didn't benefit anybody if you didn't see it. And so that's where my heart is. They're talking about these things, but the neat thing is it could have been James and John, Peter, here's all these guys, Andrew, arguing who's going to be the greatest in the heavens. Now, a lot of people right now, Christians, believe that it's socialism. There will be nobody over anybody. That's not the case. Because had they been doing something wrong, Jesus Christ, what did he call Peter? When Peter was trying to talk about it, the suffering, he called him Satan. Did he get reproved? Are you kidding me? And then when they go, call me Satan? Ah, I thought I was a rock. or the pebble. So here it is, but here's Peter. You're proving yes. Did Jesus Christ have a problem with proving you when they're wrong? No. When Peter cut off Malchus's ear, he goes, those that live by the sword will die by the sword. Sheathe your knife or your sword, Peter. Jesus Christ, the Jehoshaphat and Shaddai, had no problem reproving people. They're arguing, who's going to be in charge? Elijah, Melania, who's going to be in charge of you in the kingdom to come, in the third heaven and third earth? Is he going to be your boss? Or are you going to be his boss? That's what they're discussing. Isn't that interesting? Is Joel Osteen going to report to me or me to Joel Osteen? I don't know. I would assume from people like Smith Wigglesworth and stuff, I have a pretty good idea. I might be washing their feet for a long time. Well, who knows? Who knows that some of the greatest people that are going to be in charge running things in the third heaven and third earth, I bet you, we don't know anything about these guys.
Yeah.
Because our Father loves those who do things in secret. When you're a parent and you see your child do the right thing and the child doesn't even know you're watching, does it bless you?
Mm-hmm.
That shows righteousness. Man, I can't leave that unrewarded.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine, here's our Heavenly Father watching. He loves what you do in your secrets. In your secret places. But when it comes to them, they're arguing who's going to be the greatest. This was so neat. They could have been talking in his house. He's out doing something. He comes in, they're arguing. They didn't say they're arguing, they're discussing. Who's going to be the greatest? And in verse 34, right before 34, he goes, what are you guys talking about? Verse 34, and they were silent. Nothing. What are you guys doing? Nothing. And then he explains to them, he goes, did he reprove him? No. He goes, guys, what you're doing is great. I've been talking about rewards, like investments, dividends, deferred compensation. But he says, you're going about the wrong way. And he talked about, and what he did is he showed them and taught them something that was very foreign, and it can be very foreign to us too. He taught them to be a servant. Your job is to be servants. And they looked at kids. And he says, not to desire to be served. He did this over and over again. To be a servant, not to be served. Wait a minute, isn't this the king of the Jews? We have a tendency to think of a king with a scepter. Get down, wash my feet, cook me some food. You hear all these things? We have these ideas. The idea is, the concept is, reconcile our thoughts, our ideas, and our understanding to the Word. And that's what Jesus Christ was doing. He was showing them how to reconcile. You're kind of close to me. He goes, no, you're going about the wrong way. You want to be the greatest in the third heaven, third earth? Serve the least, not the kings. Well, why would I do that? Well, if you serve a king, you're going to have a lot of reward, won't you? You serve some little vagrant or a kid or something like that, nobody sees it. Where's your reward? You're a father. But anyways, I digress. John, the gospel called John, page 109 in the New Testament, guys. I guess we can call the young Cunningham's here piglets. Little hands. No? Hold the corn. I got you. I got it. 13 verse 4 through 9. page 109. And it went wonderful because this is... The title, not the title, but the explanation, the description for the 13th chapter is the Last Supper. Yehoshua washes his disciples' feet. It comforts their troubles. He knows what's getting ready to happen. He's getting ready to be tortured worse than anybody who's ever done it. He's not supposed to speak back. He's supposed to take it, being picked on. It's going to Melania. Every kid knows what it's like to be bullied and be picked on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to explain that to Melania. I said, everybody, adults get picked on, but you know who got picked on more than anybody ever? Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Yehoshua Mashiach. If you want to get an idea, watch The Passion of the Christ. Here he is, and here's just a movie Mel Gibson did. People spitting on him and kicking him. And they're like, that is the guy. He knows what it's like to get picked on. But we can take it. We got a great leader. Verse 4 through 9, if somebody would read that for me. Did Melania?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Lazarus.
Okay, we'll let Melania go and then Elijah go next.
Lazarus himself out of the supper and layeth girded himself.
No, we'll aside his garments.
Layeth aside his garments and taking a linen cloth girded himself. Next he poureth water unto the what?
The Pharisees.
Unto the
disciples.
Unto the disciples, and to be whipping them with the linen cloth, wherewith he was girded, so he could cometh unto Simon Peter. He said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I am doing thou knowest not as yet. How about thou shalt get to know
hereafter?
Peter said unto him, Thou ever wash my feet? Jesus answered to him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands also, and my head. Jesus said unto him,
That's good. And so, before he was ready to be tortured to death, he started washing the disciples' feet. Peter was very uncomfortable with that. I mean, I would be uncomfortable with that too. This is the guy I'm going to lay my life down for. I'll do anything for this guy. And he comes and washes my feet. You know, Peter goes, No, you don't wash my feet. I should wash your feet. At least that's what it appears. And Jesus Christ, or Yehoshua Mashiach, he says, You don't understand what I'm doing. Just let me do my job, basically, is what Yehoshua said. But here's this whole concept again, that he was showing them how to be a servant. It's really neat. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, in the line when you read, try to use your finger. Okay, you're skipping some lines. So you guys, when you read, use your finger or a bookmark. But in 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But the tendency to think, that sometimes, this is me, this is all of us. Yeah, I've had a hard day. Come take my shoes off. But Jesus Christ had a hard day. He came and started washing their feet. What's he doing? That is very foreign to us. We have a tendency to think that maybe there's a father or a mom who came home from a long day of work that people should wait on. I'm not trying to take things out of context, but you would assume, no, we need to be waiting on. But here's Jesus Christ goes, no, I am here to serve you. And he did it all throughout the Gospels. He was serving and serving and serving. It's very confusing. And it's easy for us to look at and wonder why the Hebrews were confused. But we have hindsight. Hindsight's always 20. What's wrong with these Jews? Why didn't they understand he was the Mashiach? Yeah. Well, okay. A lot of people don't understand is the Jews weren't... the word was not their number one thing. They had all kinds of different traditions were more important than Yahweh's word. Kind of sounds like today. Mm-hmm. They say church fathers. No, it's really traditions fathers. They come up with all new doctrines and stuff. And when people start using words, then you say, is that word in the Bible? No. So why are we using that word?
Yeah.
So we have the same thing here. And not to pick on people, to go, we should reconcile ourselves to the word. But the Jews were kind of confused because Yahweh had explained in B.C., I don't even like to say Old Testament because Yahweh didn't call it the Old Testament. Just say it, B.C., before Christ. Before Christ, there was a prophecy that there's really two Mashiachs were coming. They did not know that the two were actually one. It wasn't clear on it. There was a lion who was going to come. He's going to have a scepter. He's going to dash things to pieces. Yahweh said he was going to say, Sit down at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Then there was also this lamb that was in Isaiah. And here he had been suffered. So they were kind of confused. It also said that he was going to be a king. But then he was going to be a priest. Now, how are you going to be a king and a priest? Because priests came from Aram. Now, that's an easy one. We know that in the course of Melchizedek. E.W. Bullinger, and I believe also this is Edersheim, were explaining with the Hebrews, they didn't realize it was the same one. John the Immerser, John the Baptist, knew Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Behold, the Lamb of God. He knew he was a Lamb, but it was not clear that he would also be the Lion. So when John the Immerser said to his disciples, "Go, are you the?" When he was asking, this is an explanation, but it's the best one I've ever heard. Is, are you the, also the Lion, or is there another one of them coming? It's going to be the Lion. We know he already knew his he knew his cousin was the Lion. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." But there were two. The Lion who's coming, he's coming here to wreck shop. And that's what John the Baptist, he believed that right after Jesus Christ was going to be the day of Yahweh. That's the day of judgment. That's the book of Revelation. War. The moons will be turned to blood, all the rest of these things. They didn't know about the sacred secret. But they didn't know that there's going to be the Lamb too. The John the Baptist understood about Jesus Christ being the Lamb of God. But it appears through the scriptures that his disciples did not understand the servant. James and John said, "Do you want us to call fire down out of heaven and consume them?" They understood that part. But the lamb, but the servant thing was very foreign to them. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, Old Testament, page 34, all the way to the beginning.
Genesis
1. Chapter 1.
Page 34, chapter 1. And so we don't have the same things too, and we'll try to compare ourselves to Jesus Christ. Like, yeah, I'd be more like that guy. I'll watch something. Oh, I gotta be like that guy. He does those things and stuff like that. And then you see people who don't understand the word, that they go, "Wow, looks like he's." Well, I'm not gonna get ahead of myself. I'll be disciplined tonight. Chapter 1, verse 27. Before we get started. What was Yahweh's first commandment to his twins, Adam and Eve? They were twins. What was the first commandment?
Not to eat the fruit from the...
Pretty close. Anybody else?
To
make babies. Make babies. Honeymoon. All right. He goes, make babies. That's the first commandment. When I say chapter 1, verse 27, and Elohim, God, Elohim created man, that's mankind, Adam, in his own image, in the image of Elohim, created he, him, male and female, created he them. And Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." Go make grandkids. He wants grandkids. "And fill the earth and subdue it." Subdue it. What does that mean? King James is really way off on this. Maybe you guys are reading it. It says like a... I forgot what it said, but it wasn't multiplying, but it's like retaking over things. No, but it's subdue it, fill the earth. Oh, I think it says replenish. It didn't say replenish, but look at the Hebrew words. But this word subdue it, this is a theological word book of the Old Testament. They're not expensive, but they are priceless. It's incredible. Just the word subdue it. What is this? This is so neat, is that if you get some resources like this, what you're really doing, you're equipping Jesus Christ and Yahweh, Yahushua, to teach you.
Yeah.
Because now you can go into my study. I thought that was my study. Come on, smart aleck. Open up the theological workbook of the Old Testament. Why? Why are we looking at Genesis 1? I thought we were talking about servants in the Gospels. Open it. Yes, sir. Here we go. Open up subdue. Why? I'm all kind of confused. And the neat thing is when we're obedient, just like the disciples, but if we are obedient, we will look really smart at times. And actually, a lot of times, I'm going to share with you what this word subdue. It is the Hebrew word kabosh. This is the second commandment, subdue the earth. This is also the word from kabesh, with an E, kabosh with an A, but here's kabesh. Footstool. Subdue, the footstool, refers to the footrest of Solomon's throne. 2 Chronicles 9:18. This verb is a derivative occur 15 times in the Old Testament. It is evidently, let me skip down here. In the Old Testament, it means to make, to serve, by force, if necessary. What are they to do to the earth? Force it to serve them.
Uh-huh.
What do people do now? Mother Earth, Mother Nature, we are to serve the earth. Romans 1 forbids us to do that. What were they commanded to do? Make the earth serve you. Okay. And you keep reading, it's despite, it goes on about subduing it, what they were commanded to do. I used to think the Garden of Eden was this well-kept botanica. No, it's probably a jungle. It'd work. Get to work! This place is a mess. Trim it! Golly, what kind of... This is a, you know, we have a tendency to think the Garden of Delight would be, oh, in a hammock, and a martini, and a suntan, and some, and a ukulele somewhere. No. The Garden of Eden was a work. And that's what... He said, get to work! First make babies, then work. Come on, this is my garden. There, also the word therefore subdue in Genesis 1:28 implies that creation will not do man's bidding gladly or easily, and that man must now bring creation into subjection or submission by man's strength. What's really interesting, if you read the Genesis account, the Hebrew words, what happens after the curse, Yahweh said the consequences, now you're going to be serving the earth. There's going to be thorns and thistles. It's not going to be, they were supposed to be serving them. But subdue it. Make it submit. And so what's neat, make kids, make the ground submit to you. And that was actually submitting to Yahweh. Submit. What's the first thing? Make kids. That doesn't sound like a big deal. He's got married. A married couple tell them to go make babies, that's not a hard thing to do.
Get right on that.
What is the flip side of having kids? Adam and Eve were created perfect. Probably photographic memories, perfect concept of fire, ice, wind, physics, trigonometry, calculus, everything. They're going to live 900 years and teach everybody how everything works. You can imagine, here it is, okay, here's how this works. 900 years, he's explaining calculus, trigonometry, antibiotics, maybe inoculations, all these things we think were so smart. Adam and Eve would have these things. Now they have their children, they go, boy, that's so amazing. Children, they just love to submit. Children just love to obey. It's like you don't even have to tell them what to do, right?
Yeah.
Right, parents?
Yep.
I'll beat your butt. You better submit. Can you imagine Adam and Eve? They're the first parents. I mean, they didn't get to watch anything except for Yahweh. And you can imagine Adam and Eve go, what the heck is wrong with this little devil? He stole another apricot. Where did you learn this stealing? And here this thing is, they're acting like animals. Make them submit. Make them submit. Make them submit. Adam, Eve, get together. Make them submit. That sounds like work. Is it anything different than what he told them to do with the earth? Make the earth submit. The neat thing is, if you can think about submitting and what can happen when we follow Yahweh's his design and his plan. You ever seen a bonsai tree?
Mm-hmm.
Man, some of these bonsai trees are 80, 100 years old. They're gorgeous. And discipline. Exercise, the exorcism, probably wrong choice of word, but the process of exercising and discipline of both the gardener and the plant. Look what happens to this thing. They're incredible. Look what happens when you force the creation to submit. Look at that thing. It's gorgeous. Think about botanical gardens. Think about these things. Think about zoos. A zoo is making the creation submit. No tigers. You don't get to eat the penguins. No, you don't get to break out. Monkeys got to have cages. Here's all these things. Make them submit. And Yahweh commanded us to do those things. Make it all submit. Why? The glory of Him. But that is the Hebrew word, kabesh. And a neat example. Do you ever want to see a really good example of a servant? I think my brother and my sister-in-law with their kids. I think what my parents had to do with their 7 kids. Those are servants. And golly, my brother first got married, and I watched him go from being a bachelor to a parent. He was a very frustrated. Put on the back burner again, dang these kids. I wanted to watch the game, and here it is. He was learning how to put others before himself. And what happened was, he was going through, and this is not just him. I'm going through this. I'm a father of a 9-year-old. I just think it's easier for me to watch him. It's easier to watch other people. But the idea is when he had children, he had to learn how to submit again to somebody else. And I believe that that's a lot like what parents have to choose to force their kids. Then Yahweh, we have kids, and Yahweh goes, you make that kid submit. Well, I want affection from the kid. And if I don't give them what they want, they won't give me affection. What are you going to do with that kid? You going to make him submit? And Adam and Eve, Adam could have submitted to Yahweh, but he submitted to Eve. Our relationship is vertical first, horizontal second. Love Yahweh with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Number one. Everything else comes after that. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're married, your spouse comes before everybody else. Okay? Husbands, submit to your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. If you don't want to submit to somebody, you don't get married. And it doesn't mean you don't get to submit. You're just not a full-time submitter. but back to being a parent, you see somebody, my neighbors have 7 or 6 kids. I look at this guy and I go, man, this guy. He comes home from work 60 hours a week. He pulls his truck into the driveway, and then there's 6 kids hanging off his neck. And he's trying to walk into the house. He looks like a zombie. He goes inside. I'm sure he just wants to take off his work clothes. He goes back inside. He's in there for 5 minutes. He comes back out. And he's got a football, and he's playing catch with one of his kids. And then he gets done playing catch with another kid goes, my bike's broke. My bike's broke. He's cementing and he's serving. And that can sound so horrible. And guess who's the happiest family on this block? That couple. Yahweh made us to submit and to serve. Yehoshua. Look at the Gospels. What did he do? He was obedient to the cross. And he didn't even speak back. He took it. He took it. His father was watching. He submitted. And he served. Yehoshua was born to serve. Adam and Eve were created and born. Focus. Thank you. You're angry. Adam and Eve were created and designed to do what? Rebel?
No.
They chose rebellion. I'm making her submit. There's your illustration. It's not easy sitting still, is it? But you can do it. Adam and Eve, they were created to serve. We were created to serve. And we were made to serve. We were born to serve. John 14, verse 9.
In the New Testament.
And so the Jews, page 110 in the New Testament, the Gospel called John, chapter 14. Now, what's neat is Yehoshua, or Jesus Christ, kept saying, my Father, my Father, my Father, my Father, God's my Father, God's my Father, God's my Father. If I said my father was a giraffe, what would that make me?
A giraffe?
A giraffe. If my dad was a monkey, what would that make me? Don't answer.
Okay.
Don't call me a president. If my father was a whale, what would that make me? If my father was a god, what would that make me? It would make you a god. The Jews were going to kill Jesus Christ. He says, you being a man are making yourself a god by saying, Jesus Christ says, because I said he's my father. And then Jesus Christ goes back and says, you are called gods. You were created in the image of God, male and female. He's your father. What is this blasphemous thing? But it wasn't blasphemous. But where I'm going with that is Yehoshua, he came back and he spoke to the storm. Peace be still. He spoke to the fig tree. You're not going to produce any more fruit. He spoke to Lazarus, come forth. Look at this power. What kind of man is this? There was a loss of identity of who we were created to be. And they look at this and going, he's the second Adam. This is the way things were supposed to be. He reconciled back the way the Garden of Eden should have been, but because of the fall of man, Adam and Eve sold us into slavery. Things were so backwards that they're like, what kind of man is this? And you can imagine Jesus or Yehoshua going, this is the way it's supposed to be. My brother and my sister-in-law get married, or they got married, it's their 12th anniversary. I don't rejoice because they made it 12 years. That's the way it's supposed to be. I rejoice because it's 12 years of wonderful things. But anyways, 14 verse 9. Would somebody read that?
Jesus, Yehoshua saith unto him, so long a time as this have I been with you, and thou hast not come to know me, Philip. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How art thou saying, show us the Father?
Yehoshua said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Yehoshua says, I can do nothing without my Father. He says, I only speak what my Father says to speak. Yehoshua was the biggest servant we've ever known. Who else is a big servant? Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think about Yahweh as a servant. No, I think of him as in a throne. But if his son, he sent, who served and died, and that is the example of who the Father is to us, those are servants. That's our Father. That's our genetics. So sometimes when we read the Word, it says, do this, or do that, you're like, golly, that's so foreign. It's like going into an alien land, right? No, you were designed to serve. You were created to serve. You should not have to pay a duck to swim. You were designed to swim. Quack, 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 quack. But we do have a problem, though, because we have the sin nature also inside of us.
Yeah.
But Adam and Eve were created servants. Adam broke that and served his wife over Yahweh. Now we're sold into slavery. Yehoshua, the second Adam, came, and he was a servant. And who else is a servant? Yahweh, our Father, was a servant. It's neat when because as we started teaching kids and stuff, I was talking to Melania last week about this war that we have going on inside of us. We have two minds. We have the old mind. The old man is inside us. The old nature is very important. I was extremely blessed by my mother and my father, because even at a young age, my mother and my father says, don't think those thoughts. What does the world tell you? A psychologist goes, let's examine these thoughts. No. The love of God thinketh no evil. No, don't think those thoughts. What's going on? Even in a little kid's head, you can see the rebellious, you can see the animal nature in a kid, and you teach a kid that is not profitable, and you're not going to get away with that. And if you don't do something to your sister that you don't want to be done to you, you got that? Oh, submit! Submit! Put them in a timeout. We've got to find somebody to get these guys to submit. But an old man, there's an old man, there's a new man. Ephesians 4, let me turn to Ephesians 4 real quick. And so what I'm trying to do here is first show that we were designed to serve. Okay, so then why is it so foreign to serve? Why don't we want it? Why are we so rebellious? Why is it? What's really going on here? Ephesians 4th chapter. 198. I'll read. Chapter 4, verse 22. Okay, so this goes for kids too. This goes for 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 100-year-olds. Me, every single day. When is there a war going on? Every day. Every day. Every once in a while, I'll wake up in the middle of in the morning, I'm going, what in the world are those dreams? Sometimes I feel like when I go to sleep, it's almost as if the old man, it's like the cockroaches when you leave the house. And you come home, what's going on here? Any of those cockroaches? I'm like, what are these weird dreams and stuff? I wake up in the morning, there's a war every single day. What are you supposed to do with that war, with these bad thoughts? Verse 22. That you were to strip off. Strip off as regardeth the former behavior of the old man who corrupteth himself. Verse 25. I'll keep reading. Verse 23. And we're to be getting young again in the spirit of your mind. And we're to put on the man of new mold, who after Yahweh has seen created in the truthful righteousness and loving kindness. 25. Therefore, stripping off what is false, strip it off. And we'll turn to I'll just turn it real quick. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, it also is going to be explaining this war that's going on. It says, chapter 3, verse 5, make him dead. There's an old man. You look in the mirror and you go, you're a dead man. Me? Yeah, you're dead. Oh, I haven't done anything wrong. That doesn't mean you're not going to. There's war. You, Aaron Cunningham, there's a war going on inside that you're dead. Because in Colossians 3:5 says, kill him. How do I kill the old man? And then it says in Colossians 3, verse 9, strip it off. I like to think of it like a vine you're going to kill. How do you kill vines? If you try to strip off a vine off something, you know what happens? It grows right back. If you want to get rid of vines, you cut it off at the root, you kill it, and then you strip it off. That's what we are to do each day with the old man. That's what parents do with their kids. Get up. Oh, I want to go to school. Get up or I'm taking away your Legos. Oh, all right. And you know that sounds, it sounds like I'm picking on kids, and I get to explain it to my son. And I said, guess who else gets put in time out? He goes, who? Me. You do, Dad? Yeah, I get put in time out. It's just like a different kind of time out. Every once in a while I get a lecture. Oh, okay. You better straighten this thing out or I'll take away your Jeep. What, the Jeep? I don't want to lose the Jeep. Don't take my Jeep. What am I going to do? Submit. Yes, sir. I'll take it. I still want to go to Yosemite National Park, or I want to go to the gym. Sometimes I want to go work out or do one of these things. And I'm blessed. I have a great mother and father. You know, I get to stand on top of their shoulders. But I got to recognize the war that was going on inside. And every once in a while, I'm out of fellowship. And Yahweh goes, you're not going to get the work out of doing anything, at least with me, if you don't get your stuff straight. What do I need to do? You need to kill that old man and stop thinking the stinking thing. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Well, you don't have to turn there. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is for all of us. Don't be conformed to this world. What is the world teaching right now? The world teaches us that we are animals. We made ourselves. We evolved from something. So we're just like animals. Why do they say that? It's because they want to act like animals. That's why they want to do it. They want to act like animals. And they want to. And if all the earth were just animals, guess who the king animal is? Humans. And if you're the king human, then you're God. Because you're in charge of everything. And so I've got to tell the kids, when you go to play, man, somebody goes, you're not the boss of me. Yeah, grown-ups do the same thing. Most of them are scientists, philosophers, and professors, and politicians, some of the wicked ones. They say, Yahweh goes, okay, anyways, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transform. Transform yourself. Each day, get up in the morning and say, I am not going to serve. I am a servant. I was created to serve. Don't just step in and act, I'll be a little bit of servant. No, I was created to serve. Good works. This is what I was born to do. And don't just kind of step into this servant thing a little bit, but embrace you were created to serve. That's like talking to a duck going, you really like the water if you get into the water. You'll really like it. Or here's a bird flying, you'll really, really like it. Here Yahweh goes, if you serve, you'll be the happiest person there is. If you're doing it according to the word. Because Yahweh designed you. And he goes, love your neighbors yourself. Jesus Christ served people. He worked harder than anybody else. And I'm convinced that if the religious people came into the group of people, they would have known who he was. He would probably be the one cleaning up dishes, sweeping up things, maybe changing diapers, whatever. Because he was the biggest servant in the world. He was also healing. But he was just kind of, who is this guy? And he wasn't real attractive. A lot of people say, well, he's so gorgeous. No, he wasn't gorgeous. Because in Isaiah, the only way you're going to know who he was is because of the way he acted. He was a servant. And so we are to embrace these things. Now, 1 Chronicles chapter 28. So each morning, you look in the mirror, and the idea is transform. Each morning, I'm going to transform myself into a servant. Well, how do I do that? Faith comes by hearing the spoken words of Christ. That's Romans 10:17. Yahweh has given us medicines. But if you don't take the medicine, you're not going to get it. The word is supposed to be, it's an oral medicine, and it's supposed to come out of your mouth. Faith comes by hearing the spoken words. I am an ambassador of Christ. I can do all things through him who empowers me. I have the mind of Christ. The Lord of God thinketh no evil. I'm the head, not the tail. You build yourself up in the morning, you go, I will not be conformed to this world. It's not a dog-eat-dog world. You better get some when you can, or do unto others before they do to you, all this garbage. I am transforming into the chief servant in my house. And if we can, what we should try to do is say, I want to be the number one servant today. Or if I can't do it for 24 hours, how about until lunch? I want to be the number one servant. And the neat thing is you want to see the happiest people out there? They're the ones that serve the most. You want to see the most unhappy people? Go look at them. Talk to them. And say, tell me about your life. Oh, me, 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 me. Oh, me, 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 me. Oh, you don't know what's happened to me. And you're going to go, you have your problem? What? You were designed to serve. You're not doing your serving. I can use my guitar as a hammer. I can hammer stuff in with it, right? Mm-hmm. I'd be a fool. If you're not serving, you're a fool. Don't be a fool. Serve. It's what you were born to do. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to all that stinking thinking and all the old man genetics. Guess what happens? You start smashing him out. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 2.
Okay. What page?
434. 434,
no? Okay, 435.
Actually, it'd be
435. Yeah, but chapter 4 is all the way over
here. Chapter 28 of 1 Chronicles.
435.
Turn 435.
Almost got it. Found
it. Okay. Verse 2.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Then David, or Dawid, is how you pronounce it. Dawid the king rose up to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me," that's a grammatical inversion, "it was near my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh and for the footstool of our Elohim." The house that David wanted to build, but Yahweh says, "No, your son's going to build it." What was it going to be? A footstool for Yahweh. I believe David wanted to wash Yahweh's feet. If you look at David's life, how many times he fell upon his face, and Yahweh said, Samuel, "I'm looking for a man from my own heart. Put your feet here. Why? So I can wash him." Wow. Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
We should tell Yehoshua, "Let my house be your footstool." Aaron, you want your house to be my footstool? Yes. You know, I don't put my feet in dog manure. Right? So don't let dog manure in your house. Don't let pornography or garbage or drugs or whatever in the house, and then I'll put my feet down. I'm not going to put it down there in dog manure. I got nice feet. Wow. Put your feet down here so that I can wash you. And that's what I believe David was doing, and David was born. And I believe that David was probably one of the happiest guys you could have ever met. I believe the Apostle Paul was the happiest guy you can be. How much joy? Who gave more than Paul? Oh my goodness. Yes, he was in prison, but if you are obedient, you will have more satisfaction than anybody else on the planet. And with more satisfaction, you will ooze joy, laughter, all the rest of these things. And if you're with Yahweh and you're in fellowship with Him, wow! If Yahweh's for us, who could be against us? And if I'm in a dungeon with Jesus Christ, tell me a knock-knock joke. I can really use a knock-knock joke. Let me tell you something funny. Right? You say, Moses, I believe our leaders, that we should have a lot of reverence for them. But I also believe that if we could see snapshots, that they would be smiling more than anybody else. Why? They're more obedient. If they're more obedient, they're being better servants. They're doing what they were designed to do. And that's wonderful. They get to see somebody with a Stradivarius play it right. Or a race car, play it right. Or an airplane, somebody play it right. What's not nice is seeing somebody drive a stick who's never drove one. Oh man. The heart's like, you were designed for this thing, to serve. And so how do we wash Yahweh's feet? The same way his son washed his feet. How do you wash Yahweh's feet, guys?
By being obedient.
Being obedient. Because it says in 1 Samuel 15, to hearken is better than sacrifices. And I'm probably the worst, most guilty one here. "I love you, I love you, I love you." Then why don't you do what I say, Aaron? I'm not sinning. I told you to go across the street and prophesy. They're Catholics. They won't like that. That's where my feet are. Would we ever tell Yahweh and Yahushua, I would not wash your feet? I think it would be more like Peter. I don't think it would be malicious. But if Christ would, "Oh my goodness, would you rub my feet?" Mm-hmm. Would you say no? I'm not going to wash your feet. Anytime that we are being disobedient, we're saying we will not wash your feet. But if we focus on the number one, the vertical relationship, the way Yehoshua did, the way the Apostle Paul did, the way Moses could ask for anything, "Show me your glory." And I believe that it might have been Yahweh's feet. Check it out! That's the best foot ever. That's our relationship. Going, show me how to wash your feet every day. Every day. Teach our kids. No. The best way is to be the chief servant. Who can give more? For money? Not necessarily. You should be incentives. But for Yahweh, how to wash their feet. And how do we wash Yahushua's feet? By being obedient. By loving your wife, you're washing Yahweh's feet. By respecting your husband, you're washing Yahweh's feet. Children, obeying your parents, even if your parents aren't being respectful, you're washing Yahweh's feet. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, wrath. You're washing Yahweh's feet. He put that in there specifically. Wives, do not depart from your husbands. What if he's a jerk? You're washing Yahweh's feet. Jesus Christ, how can he tolerate so much stuff being spat on, being kicked on? Because he was not distracted. He was washing his father's feet. And if that's how he had to wash his father's feet, by having his own blood be poured out to wash his father's feet, to get the Garden of Eden fixed, he would have done it, and he did it. So if we remember that obedience is washing his feet, then, oh, golly. And then we also remember that that is where satisfaction. That's what we're born to do. It's not just something put on a hat, go be a servant. Oh, you were born. Embrace this thing. And so it says, I want all of you to speak in tongues. David just did a teaching. This is great. It's fantastic. What do you do? He did. He goes, let's take a look at this Greek word, all. All. I want all of you to speak in tongues. Let's just take a look at this Greek word. It's not italicized. It wasn't added to the text. Oh boy, I'm starting to feel a little guilty here. I want all of you to speak in tongues. Wash my feet. Be obedient. Speak sacred secrets. Build yourself up. Give thanks excellently. That's what speaking in tongues is. Then it says, be zealous to prophesy. Wash my feet. Oh, be zealous to prophesy. That is washing his feet. And that's obedience. And as long as we're focused on the vertical, then he's going to take care of all the rest. This is seek ye first my kingdom, then all these things will be added. So embrace your being a servant. Don't be a servant. Don't be a natural man or an animal. Kill that animal. You got to kill it. You don't let a rattlesnake in your house. Kill it. Every single day. And if you can, if you live in a house of people, I'll be the first person to kill the old man this morning. How am I going to do it? Looking at me, you're a dead man. I got the mind of Mashiach, the mind of Christ. And what will happen is, and the neat thing is that's where your satisfaction is. And that's where And how do you wash his feet? Always number one. To love Yahweh with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's number one. Number two, your neighbor is yourself. That's not easy. Because what we can do is we have a tendency to do what Adam did with Eve. Neighbor is yourself for that relationship first, and then you go, no. Wash his feet first, and then we love our neighbors as ourselves, like prophesying, speaking in tongues. Show them the word. And then, I think, confront the animal nature, strip it off, kill it every day. And then I think it would be great for us to be able to ask people to say, whose feet do you wash? What's that supposed to mean? You go, man, you're missing out on life. You don't even know whose feet you're washing. You go, well, whose feet do you wash? I'm learning. And that's what it says about the widows. Which widows are we supposed to be taking care of? Anybody who lost a husband?
60 years old or up.
And what do they do?
They wash the servants.
They wash the saints' feet. Uh-huh. But anyways, that's what you were born to do. And so we thank you, Father. I'm going to do a prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:39 says, be zealous to prophesy for dedication, edification, and comfort. We thank you, Daddy. We thank you that we have your word, and specifically being here in the United States, that we can broadcast things. We have electronics, Bibles, we have apps. We live in a time where we can exchange your word and ideas and seek without with very little persecution. We thank you for all the men that went before us, with Rotherham, Dr. Werewolf, and Smith Wigglesworth, and all these great people that have shown us how to confront the war that's going on within us. The biggest war in terrorism is actually the one that's going on inside of us. The old man that terrifies us and terrorizes us if we don't kill it. We thank you that we have each day. We don't know. Your son can be coming back, hopefully, right at this meeting. We just thank you. He's going to be coming back. We just thank you for showing us how to wash your feet. And specifically, when we were helping people who despise us, who may spit on our face, or people are treating us horrible or whatever, if you tell us to wash your feet, remind us then we're really washing your feet. And when Jesus Christ was washing Peter's feet, he was washing his Father's feet. And we thank you for showing us how to do these things and showing us, and for the words we've borrowed here. My sons and my daughters, know that I plot out a course every single day. And I'm so excited when you wake up. I get so excited. I look at you and your life the way a father plans out a vacation and where they're going to go on a great adventure. We're going to go to this place, and then we're going to hike this mountain, and we're going to climb this, and then we're going to go down this river. And each day, I wait for you to wake up, and I wait for these things because you're my child, and I love you, and I adore you. And I get so excited with all these things, and many times you turn your head from me, but I still look, and there's always a chance. And if you turn the wrong direction, I'm still there waiting for you to turn back, repent, come back to me, come back into the light. There's a great life. There's nothing better than the Garden of Eden. People wonder why Adam and Eve would leave the Garden of Eden, and yet we do it every single day. Reconcile yourself to my word, and I will show you how to prosper above all and everything you can ever imagine. I'll show you how to store riches in heavenlies, and I'll show you how to blow people's mind. But most important, I'll show you what you were born to do. I'll show you what you were designed to do. I got secrets. They're even inside your heart right now. There's secrets inside your heart that nobody understands, and then I give you things, or something will happen with music, and all of a sudden something will happen. You will buckle your knees, and you'll start crying and weeping. You're like, oh, I'm not even... Isn't that wonderful how you're not in control of that heart? That those strings are pulled right? These are all examples of how I designed you, and if you just trust me, I'll show you how to get satisfaction. I'll show you how to maximize this life so together we can do this adventure and redline all the way.